Morning, everybody. It's good to be here. Kevin, I kept waiting for the punchline. That was really nice. You guys are really doing good with him, you know what? I'm proud of you. James chapter 4. James chapter 4. No, I really am excited to be here. And really, one of the things I did want to say to start out is so appreciative of the hospitality that is shown to us by the Billings congregation in particular. It is a joy to stop over here for Montana Youth Camp. The Simpsons, I'm not quite sure how many boys stayed at the Simpsons house last night, but I think the number was somewhere between 16 and 18. And we had a number of young ladies staying with the Brees, and the Tools had some people staying with them. So really, really appreciate everybody's hard work. Really appreciate the way that you've made us feel welcome. Everybody coming out and kind of doing the frisbee thing and really giving the kids an opportunity to get to know other kids before camp, and really appreciate the work of the congregation and the teamwork that we're able to have. So thank you very much. And please give yourselves a hand, because this trip in particular, usually Brenna's with me, right? This trip in particular is tougher for me because there's no Brenna here. So the better half of my brain is gone. So if the sermon's bad today, it's Brenna's fault, okay? Get that out of the way and pressure's off of me. Okay, so it's Brenna's fault, but the better half of my brain isn't here. And so, like, there were certain details that usually, you know, I check with Mrs. Bree a week or two beforehand, and I'm like a day beforehand. She's like, oh, yeah, taken care of. No problem. So thank you for just having that kind of teamwork within the congregation. James chapter 4. Brenna and Emberlyn both send their regards as well, and very much looking forward to seeing everybody come Montana Family Camp time, Lord willing. James chapter 4, starting in verse 13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we shall go to such and such a city, spend a year there, engage in business, and make a profit. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You're just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and also do this or that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Caleb, would you give me a hand real quick? I talked to Caleb about this beforehand. I am going to be passing out Oreos. Now, I understand this is not Sunday school. I'm going to take that one. Well, yeah, I know it's, and it's during worship hour, so it's in jest, obviously. So go ahead and take those to the back. I'm going to start the, go ahead and take one. Take one, pass it to your neighbor. If your neighbor for some reason is crazy and doesn't like Oreos, take theirs. Okay? I got an extra pack up here in case we run out. So, take an Oreo, pass it on. You know, I was thinking about this passage a little bit and how I wanted to approach it. I'm preaching through James back home, and I was thinking about life and how quick life goes by. Life is a vapor, as it says earlier in James. And I started to think, I don't know if I was hungry when I was doing my sermon prep, or I'm not quite sure why, but I started to think about Oreos. Not that I don't frequently think about Oreos, but that's something else. I started thinking about Oreos. I was like, there are actually a lot of similarities between the shortness of life and a box of Oreos. Or a package of Oreos, right? You see where I'm going with this, don't you? Because in my house, Oreos have a tendency to disappear quickly. They go, you know, Brenna buys them at the store. She comes back a day and a half later and said, "Oh, did I put the Oreos? The Oreos are just gone." Like, I know where we put the Oreos. I don't think you want them back. So, they have a tendency to go away, to disappear quickly. Life has a tendency to go away, disappear quickly. You don't have to hang on to the Oreos unless that wasn't clear. Please munch away. Except you're not allowed to because it's a sanctuary. So, I was thinking about this. Somebody mentioned Mr. Hopper, and I was thinking this example might be a whole lot more difficult if Mr. Hopper was around still. Because, Brenna, I did this in Wauseon. I asked Brenna, I was like, "You think it'd be okay in Billings?" She's like, "Oh, yeah, they're fine. They're all, you know, they all have coffee anyway," and that sort of thing. And she's like, "But if Mr. Hopper was still around, right, I might have to be vacuuming afterwards," basically, is what she was implying. But one of the things here, life goes by quick. You know, Oreos, always wish I had more. Right? Like, we're halfway through the box already. Life, always wish you had more. From your perspective in time, you have an idea of what you think old is. And it's weird how that perspective changes as we get older. Old changes its definition. And it's one thing, oh well, sometimes people will say, they're trying to be nice, of course, but sometimes people will say, well, you know, somebody passes away and they were 90 years old, and it's like, oh well, they lived a nice long life. You know, you never hear the 90-year-old saying that. "Oh well, it's okay, I lived a nice long life." They're like, you know, a few more years would be all right. Hope to see this next great-grandchild graduate high school, or so on and so forth. You know, life is like Oreos too. Oreos disappear quickly, life disappears quickly. You always wish you had more Oreos, you always wish you had more time. Life is better with ice cream, Oreos are better with ice cream. Right? Even better with ice cream. There we go. Kevin said it, then it works. Okay, so I had to Google it, right? Oreos, and I was like, maybe there's some more similarities here. Did you know that as of this past year or two, they have changed the package size of Oreos? Anybody else notice that? Okay, the moms did, okay? So, there used to be 45 Oreos in a package. There used to be 45 Oreos in a package. I didn't find this out. Google told me, but I'll blame Google. There used to be 45 Oreos in a package. There's only 39 Oreos in a package now. Used to be 45. Now there's 39. Did you notice that the price that you paid didn't change? The moms noticed that too? Okay, so there used to be 45 Oreos, now there's 39 Oreos, but the price that you paid didn't change. So, did a little bit of calculation, 39 Oreos, two packages of Oreos, 78 Oreos. So we can talk about inflation. We'll have Kevin talk about that next week. Okay? But you get that you're being stolen from, and it's not from Nabisco or whoever makes Oreos. Okay? 78 Oreos in two packages. Do you know what the U.S. life expectancy is? I bet you can guess now, can't you? 78. 78. Two packages worth of Oreos. James chapter 4, verses 13 through 16. Well, we'll do 13 and 14 first. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we shall go to such and such a city and spend a year there, engage in business, and make a profit. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. First thing, guys, God is not against planning. Okay? This passage of Scripture is not our exhortation not to plan. Now, some of us are more naturally planners. I would probably put myself into that group. I like to plan. I like to be organized. I like to know what's going on so that I can make, I can make the best decisions with the best amount of information and be able to have a plan that if this plan doesn't go right, that I have another plan. It's the way that I am. It's the way that I operate. Some of you are nodding and some of you are looking at me like I'm a crazy person. I understand. I am, but not just because of that. Okay, so there are different people who are naturally inclined in a certain way. But this scripture is not against planning. It's not what this is saying. Some of you non-planners are like, man, I really like this verse. if the Lord wills. If the Lord wills, who knows what He wills, right? But I'm not going to guess. I'm not going to make any plans for it. Sometimes in the religious world, people like to claim like life verses. Has anybody ever heard of like my life verse? Maybe you're listening to Christian radio and they're like, my life verse, sometimes people, I got a huge Philippians 4:13 tattoo, my life verse. If you're a non-planner this morning, okay, you just think you found your life verse, right? If the Lord wills. Okay, that's not where James is going with this. God is not against planning. God plans and God executes. All throughout the Scriptures, you see from the very beginning that God has planned and executed, okay, His plan starting at the end, okay, but we get to see His plan from the beginning unfolded so that we can know that this is the Word of God. God plans and God executes. And so God also wants His children to plan and to execute that plan. That's what He's looking for. The character of God is one who plans and one who executes that plan. From the very beginning, as Jared was pointing out in the Lord's Supper meditation, okay, God is setting the people up so that we might know who He is and so that we might know what His plan is. God plans, God executes. He also wants His children to plan and to execute. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Ephesians 3:20. Now to Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Jesus Christ to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Beyond all that we can ask or think, which implies that we ought to be asking and thinking. We ought to be planning. He's able to do more than what we ask and what we think. So God is not against planning. That's not what this is saying. God is also not against travel or business. Okay? God's not against travel or business. If He were, okay, I would be in sin in front of all of you because I did a lot of traveling over the past day or two. And we would all be in sin because business keeps us alive. Right? So this verse is not talking about God being against traveling or business. This verse is also not against profit. Okay? Unlike what some liberal scholars might have you believe, okay, this verse is not a referendum on capitalism or the free market system. It's not what this is talking about. Okay, you're telling me all this stuff that it's not talking about. It might be a good idea. What are these verses talking about? Well, the problem is a lack of an acknowledgement of God. A lack of an acknowledgement of His will and what His plan is. When we forget to acknowledge God's will and God's plans, that's where we get off course. Let's go to Psalm 49. Psalm 49. Psalm 49, verse 12. You know, you think about business and planning, and didn't the Apostle Paul participate in those things quite a bit? A lot of travel, right? You looked at those missionary journeys? You know, it's you come out here and, you know, spend 25 or so hours in the car, and that's quite a bit, but it's a whole lot better than walking. Right? Psalm 49, verse 12. But man in his pomp will not endure. He is like the beasts that perish. Man in his pomp will not endure. Does worldly man have a lot of pomp? A lot of things that he thinks that he knows? Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16, verse 3, and then we're going to drop down to verse 9. Proverbs 16, verse 3, then verse 9. Commit your works to the Lord, and your plans will be established. Verse 9. The mind of man plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. If the Lord wills, we will go to such and such a city and perform business there. According to the will of the Lord. Committing our way to the Lord. The mind of man plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. Zechariah 12 and verse 1 talks about how God puts the spirit inside of an individual. And those spirits are called home by the will of the Lord. There are certain things that we do not have control over. You didn't make a decision about where you were going to be born. You don't get to make a decision about the day that you die. Those things, you die physically. You get to make a decision about the other death. There's some things you don't get to make decisions over. There, mind of the man plans his ways, but the Lord directs his step. You know, with the birth of Emberlyn, there were certain decisions that we had. In fact, she was induced and that sort of thing. But going through that process, you realize how little control that you have. Baby comes when she comes. Right? She's healthy or she's not. Ultimately, we want to get the doctors, right? We want their expertise. But it's the Lord, right? Plan your way, but the Lord directs the steps. But we're called to be actively engaged, to act and to seek, while recognizing that God is in control. He is the one directing our ship. It's kind of interesting. Mikel was talking about a sailboat earlier. And a sailboat cannot sail straight into the wind. It's impossible. And if we are not working with God's program, we are trying to sail against the wind. We can plan. We can set our rudder in connection with God's revealed principles in His Word. But without His blessing, we won't succeed. We'll be trying to sail against the wind. It's important to recognize that God is our creator and designer, and we want to be working in connection to His will.
I want to live according to the will of the Lord. The will of the Lord is revealed in the Scriptures. Things laid out explicitly in the principles contained therein. The will of the Lord is there. If the Lord wills, we will shall go to such and such a city and do this or that. Submission to God's plan. Back to Proverbs or James chapter 4. James chapter 4. It's important to live in submission to God's will because our time is short. Our time is short. We plan for the things that we care about. That's why there's so many business books on planning. Because people are concerned about making more money. They're concerned about being successful in business. They're concerned about acquiring more wealth and more assets for them and their family and for those that they care about. So there are a lot of business books about planning. Most of the things that you find in the marketplace about planning are related to business. Because what does the most of the world care about? Cash, right? Money, assets. That's what most of the world cares about. But we can make the same application in the spiritual realm. You plan for the things that you care about. I plan for the things that I care about. You prioritize the things that you care about. I prioritize the things that I care about. Time is short. James 4, verse 14, you are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. God's will is first. We plan for the things that we care about. Seek first the kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Isn't there a practical aspect of that too? What am I planning for to seek first the kingdom of God? Plans need to be made. For any great venture or any great accomplishment that we are looking to do, it takes a great amount of planning, right? I thought it was kind of ironic that I'm passing out Oreos in a congregation that has so many people working for Spartan races, right? Like, one of the most fit congregations that I know, and Marshall comes in from Ohio passing out Oreos. Rather ironic. But the Spartan races, right? They're all over the place. You guys... Well, that's a big deal, right? Takes a lot of training. Can you wake up one day and decide that you're going to participate in a Spartan race? Especially if you've been sitting around eating those things. Right? You don't just get to wake up, oh, I'm gonna go do a Spartan today. No, you're not. I mean, you can try, but no, you're not. The same thing is true in the spiritual realm. For us to be as effective as we can possibly be, we have to plan and then execute that plan. We have to be asking and thinking. And then God will do exceedingly abundantly more than we can ask or think. But we need to bring our part of it to the table. Because the time is short. Life is a vapor. Here one day, gone tomorrow. Big perspective. Make it count. Two boxes of Oreos. You think the Oreos disappear quickly? If you visualize this package of Oreos, and each Oreo is 1 year of your life. Two packages, life's gone. That's on average. On average. Thought about, maybe it's a little bit morbid, but getting a couple of boxes of Oreos and taking one out each year. Probably with all the preservatives, they'd be fine in 78 years. It's easy to lose sight of that in the day-to-day, isn't it? It's easy to lose sight that we're always
losing a little bit more of that Oreo day by day. Time is limited. Time is short. We need to have a big perspective to seek first the things of the kingdom of God. One of the historical guys that I really like and appreciate is a guy by the name of James Garfield. And you guys are familiar probably with James Garfield, at least his name. James Garfield was president of the United States from Ohio. He was born around Cleveland, Ohio. His father died very young. He was raised really, really poor. Basically didn't have shoes to wear on his feet. He ended up serving in the Civil War. Now, James Garfield... Things were different then, right? Things were different then. James, the way that he worked himself through college is he also taught college. Okay? It's the way he worked himself through college. Super smart guy. Super intellectual. There was a guy, his mom was involved in the Restoration Movement. And when James was about, 17, 18, 19 years old, somewhere in there, revival preacher came through and he had some questions, right? And it looks like, and I can't verify, and I don't know his heart, but at the very least, he was immersed for the remission of sins at that age, between 17 and 19 years old. And he has some great preaching on the Holy Spirit. One little fun fact, there was one day in Ohio where Alexander Campbell preached in the afternoon, and James Garfield preached in the morning, or vice versa. Right? So you had a double header of James Garfield and Alexander Campbell. I would have liked to have been in that building. But he had some great things to say about the Holy Spirit. Really, really interesting. But from a historical perspective, people can tell you very little about James Garfield. Typically, you go on the street and James Garfield, who's that? Did he have that comic with Odie? Like, people don't know. I mean, they know more about Garfield the cat, right? Like, that's the reality of the situation. But James Garfield is president of the United States. It's only been just over 120 years or so. Well, a little longer than that. Less than 150 years since he's been president. Very few people could even tell you that he was president of the United States. Think about that. He was the most powerful man in the world. Of the most powerful nation in the world. And what do people know about James Garfield today? Nothing. Nothing. But James Garfield, it appears, got some stuff right. Looks like James Garfield very well may have gotten eternity right. Guys, how do we want to spend our time? What was significant about Garfield, really? Significant about Garfield is that looks like he probably got eternity right. Guys, we have a limited amount of time and a limited amount of resources. What are you going to use those time and those resources on? Time is short. You only have so many Oreos. Let's make them count. Mr. Wilson?